Well, amen. That went mighty fast. Can you hear me okay? That sounds different, so it's just odd. But praise the Lord. It's working, so that's the main thing. Well, it's good to see you, and it's good to be here this morning. Most of you know, I've been out sick quite a bit, and just to explain that to you briefly is I haven't really been sick. I've been fighting vertigo. And I don't know if you've ever had it or dealt with it, but it's not fun. And it comes and goes as it pleases. And that's what worries me more than anything, is that I can be standing here perfectly fine and move my head the wrong way or look up or down the wrong way, and it's over. The vertigo kicks in, and I'm down for the count. So, you know, God bless my wife. I spent most of the night, Tuesday night, on the bathroom floor, amen? Got vertigo, couldn't get up, didn't have the strength to get up, and it was just, it makes you so sick, makes you sick on your stomach, and it's really kept her up all night long, and she's been my nurse for a while. But, you know, it opens her eyes to just how vulnerable we really are, you know? And when trouble times come, and I've had it for, I don't know, a little over a month now, really. And it starts to get to you after a while. You know, it builds up on you. And I don't know, I guess we kind of get upset and we want God to take care of things. And he does in his time. And we have to remember that. And we all deal with that. Remember when Dr. Carter was down with his back? You know, he struggles with those things. You know, when somebody else is sick, we know how to deal with it. But when we are sick, it's hard to deal with, because now the reality is in your lap. And God's still God. God's still on the throne. God's still in charge. And whatever he has for our life, so be it. That's what he has. But we just have to keep our faith where it belongs and just battle it. But anyhow, I was trying to watch a little bit of news and whatnot on television, and honestly, it's even hard to do that, because especially the news, two reasons. First of all, the news has gotten so bad, you really don't want to watch it too much. It makes you sick to your stomach to watch that, and then you add vertigo to that. But I never noticed before, but when you're watching the news, those pictures flash really quickly, much faster than it does if you're watching a program. So with those pictures flashing, it makes me sick, that movement. So it was even hard to watch the news, but I tried to and tried to catch up on some of that. So it was getting so nauseating, and I actually flipped over to YouTube, and I was watching Charles Kirk and Candace Owens on YouTube. I don't know if you know those two, but they both do a great job of getting the truth out. And just what is the truth? And how do we measure truth? Folks, you know what's wrong with society today? I mean, we look at our children coming up in their colleges, and we like to point fingers, and it's easy to blame the schools for everything, right? But the school doesn't raise our children, we do. You know what I'm saying? And for an example, I'm just going to give you a brief one. My wife mentioned this yesterday. My wife went to a liberal college. Didn't rub off on her. Amen? It didn't change her beliefs. It didn't change her faith. If anything, it made her stronger. So, folks, when we send our kids off to school, I mean, I think we need to try to send them to good schools, but we can't blame the schools for what they choose, because it's a choice, because of what they choose to believe. The biggest problem is what they call wokeness today. And let's talk a little bit about what that really is. You know, wokeness is basically truth, is what they call truth. It's a reality that they choose to believe. In other words, he can be a she and she can be a he. And, you know, you can be a dog if you want to, or a cat, or whatever the case may be. It's whatever your reality is. You know, the situation, and that's the problem with the world, because there's only one truth. And that truth has got to be measured by God's word. Amen. And what's happening is, in our society today, we've taken God out of our schools. We've taken God out of our White House. We've taken God out of our government, period. And if you remove God from the home, then what truth is there? Because without God in your life, if he's not in your schools, he's been taken away, he's not in the government, and if he's not in your home, Folks, you're raising your children in a false reality because they don't have anything to measure truth by. So think about this. If you remove God, take him out of your life, just set him aside like America's been doing. You set God aside. Now, what becomes truth to the individual? Whatever they decide for it to be. Because there's nobody to answer to. There's no judgment. There's no solid base truth anymore. And that's what's wrong with society. Everybody just believes whatever they choose to believe. So when you remove God out of the equation, what we get is what we have today. And sadly, the United States of America is falling very, very quickly. And when you turn the news on, you watch it, it just sickens me. You see our nation, the greatest nation in the world, still is. It still is the greatest nation in the world. But to see the things that they're doing is mind-boggling. I ask myself, how can somebody educated be so ignorant? Honestly. It's like they had to go to school to get that dumb. They had to be taught that. You know what I'm saying? It's just unbelievable because I don't consider myself to be educated, not in comparison to some of these other folks. But their reality is just so messed up because they're not based on any truth. And folks, how are we going to change that? By the Word of God. That's the only way we're going to change it. And it starts with us. It starts right here. Everything that we're doing here this morning, we come together, we're united as a church this morning. We come to get anything that we can get to feed our flesh and our souls with the Spirit of God. We need to put God in so that we can get God out, amen? So we can spread him around. And folks, the problem is that we're getting him in and we're feeding ourselves, but we're not spreading the gospel. Now, thank God, we're in a church that's not knocking doors and running buses, and we're busy as all get-go. But our individual lives in our workplaces, I mean, I see some folks that are starting to stand up more than they have in past years and starting to say things about Christ and taking a stand on being able to do the right things. But our world, our society has gotten so sick. I mean, if the news is correct, there was a teacher fired in Port St. Lucie, down there in St. Lucie County, for giving a child a zero on some homework assignment. They did not turn it in. They did zero work, so the teacher gave them a zero, and they got fired for it. That's the society that we live in. That's the way of the world. But with all that being said, I was riding down the road last night, and I seen a billboard. Right down here on 27, just between Dundee and Lake Hamilton, and it said, "Are you going to heaven or hell?" And I thought to myself, that's a good question. What a good place to put that. How many people ride by there and see that sign every day? Are you going to heaven or hell? And that's a wonderful question. The sad thing is that if they're part of the wokeness crowd, it really wouldn't mean anything to them because in their reality, there is no hell. How sad is that? And I know it's hard on us. I don't know about you, but I get tired of all the pushing. And when you push back, you're the one that's in the wrong. But we're not wrong. We're right. We know we're right. So with that being said, go to Thessalonians. Go to 2 Thessalonians. We'll start there. We're going to be going to 1 Thessalonians also. But Paul is writing a letter to the Thessalonians. This is the second letter. He has written to 1 Thessalonians. And there was some confusion going on, so Paul sent a second letter. And I'm reading this to you to remind us that we're losing some battles, and it looks like we're losing a lot of them, right? But we already know who's won the war. We know that Jesus is our victor, amen? So all these little battles are just temporary. We know that the war's been won. We know that Jesus is crucified, buried, and resurrected. We know that he is our Savior, and we know how it's going to turn out in the end. But sometimes, I know just like me being sick, sometimes we forget that, don't we? We forget just how blessed we are. No matter how bad things are for us at the day, we are truly, truly blessed. So I wanted to just go through this a little bit and kind of just reopen our minds to the fact that we are on the winning side, amen? And so go to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Let's look at chapter 1, and we're going to start right here in verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of our Lord and from the glory of his power. Folks, Jesus is coming back in vengeance, amen. So, you know, I get frustrated when I see the news, all the things that's going on. I get aggravated. But when I read this, it reminds me, hey, God's going to come back. God's going to take care of all that. But it's natural. I guess it's just our sin nature. We kind of want revenge ourselves sometimes, don't we? The things that they're doing, the lies that they're putting out. You know, look at the abortion issue. That used to be a big deal back when I was young. But the abortion issue, the lies that these people tell and have been telling for years and are still telling about conception not being life, that it's not a baby, it's a blob. You know, all these things are still the same lies over and over and over. And it's very upsetting, and you want to retaliate. It's a natural thing. But when we read this right here, we know God's going to get vengeance. So for us, we just need to keep on, moving on, doing all that we do. And do it for the Lord and move on. All right, look at chapter 2 in verse 1. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Now right here, when the very first part of the verse, he says, beseech. That is to earnestly contend. In other words, he's telling you, hey, listen up. Open your ears. Run your antenna up. Listen to what I'm saying to you. This is very important. And what we got to remember here, if we look back at, when we go back over to 1 Thessalonians, we'll see how they were a little bit confused about what was going on. And the sad thing is, all these thousands of years later, people are still confused. They're still confused. And why is that? It's because of the truth. We're not measuring things with the right yardstick. And this is the only yardstick to measure things by. And folks, let me tell you something. At the beginning of the time, when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, who was there waiting on them? Satan himself, wasn't he? And he's still here today. He's still out to confuse you in your mind. And let me tell you why he does that. If he can put any doubt in your mind, any doubt at all, that will stop you from spreading the gospel. Because you can't spread something that you don't have full faith in and full belief in. And even though that we know the Lord Jesus is our Savior, if we don't understand that we're fixing to say or teach or talk to someone, then we won't do it. Because they might come back on us and we can't answer the comeback. So it silences us, doesn't it? Satan's been in business a long time, folks, and he's still doing the same old things. He'll sit on your shoulder and he'll lie to you just like he did in the garden. And he'll do anything he can to put doubt in your mind. And all the years that we've sat in here under the preaching of Dr. Carter and now Pastor Parsons, we got some good preaching that goes on in here. Good teaching that goes on in here. And yet we still have that little doubt sometimes. We get flustered sometimes. And that's what was happening right here. Let's look at verse 3. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Folks, this right here, the problem that they were having, they were beginning to think because of the lies they were being told from false teachers and the devil himself, they were beginning to think that maybe they're missing out on the rapture. Or the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to remember that the second coming and the raptures are two different events. So many people today think that the second coming is when Jesus comes to get his church. No. That's the rapture, what we call the rapture. The Bible calls it the gathering together unto him, amen, when we're called out. But that's when Christ comes to get his church. The second coming is when he comes in power. And so when we're reading this, some people get confused. So back up to chapter 1, and we're going to see what they were looking at. Or not chapter 1, but 1 Thessalonians. Go back to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. Chapter 4, and we're going to pick it up in verse 13. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and arose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." That's comforting, isn't it? To know that, hey, we're going to be called out of here. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go. I mean, the way the world has gotten so bad, you don't even want to go out into society anymore. Everywhere you go, you just feel the wickedness of the world. I'm ready for the trumpet to sound. But that's what Paul was teaching them right here. The folks, we're going to be called out. Look at chapter 5. Look at verse 9. Look what verse 9 says. It says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Folks, when he comes back and avenges, that's not for us. That's not for the Christian. That's for the lost person. We're going to be called out of here. But the confusion was they was beginning to believe either they had missed the rapture or that this was the second coming and it may have already happened. No. And it hadn't happened yet. We're still here. Amen? And now today, this is what you're seeing. I don't know about you, but I've seen on some programs where they're talking about the mark of the beast. They're starting now to put symbols on people's foreheads. Like 666, but whatever they're putting up there. And they're saying, I hear people saying, well, is that the mark of the beast? No. Is it going to be? Yes. But is it today? Folks, let me tell you something. Don't worry about taking a credit card or taking a chip or taking a mark or anything like that right there, because it's not going to happen to you. Let's just look at reality for a moment. Let's look at the truth, what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells me that if I'm saved, I'm saved. I can't lose my salvation. I'm born again, and I have eternal life. Not temporary life, or not life until I get a credit card or a mark on my head. Amen? I have eternal life. I have made my decision. And my decision is that I am going to stand and serve my Lord God, Jesus Christ. That's my decision. I have made that decision, and I have born again, and I have eternal life. So when they hand you a credit card, or if they have to put a chip in you, or if the government makes it mandatory that you're going to have these things, that's not going to send you to heaven or hell. You've made your decision. So don't let those things bother you. Don't be worried about those things, because it's not going to happen. We're going to be called out of here. And no matter what the government makes you do, you're going to be called out of here. They can't steal your salvation, but they can steal your joy. And that's what they're trying to do right now. They're trying to steal your joy, try to put doubt in your mind, confusion. Don't let them do that. Because we stand by one truth, and that's God's truth. This is the yardstick where we're going to measure everything by. And nowhere, I haven't read any place in this Bible. And now, if I've missed it, you let me know. But I haven't read any place in this Bible that says if the government puts a mark on me or makes me take a mark, that I'm going to hell because of it. The only place it reads anything about that is during the tribulation period, right? Well, they've made their decision too, or they wouldn't have been there. They would have been called out. They would have been raptured out just like the believers. The unbelievers, just like today in society, every day they make a decision whether to choose Christ or to choose Satan, because that's the only two decisions we have, and they're choosing Satan. They've made their decisions, and yes, they'll be made to take a mark in order to buy, sell, or trade. But that's not going to apply to you and I, because we're not going to be here, folks. They're making their decisions. And what we need to remember, we're talking about wokeness. So this is the saddest thing to me. And I know that we understand because we're born again. We see the truth. We see the light. We see things for what they are. I think it's so sad that the people we're trying to help are the people who fight you the most. And who are we trying to help? The lost. We're trying to stop those who claim to be woke. We're trying to stop the transsexuals and homosexuals and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers. We're trying to stop those people from going to hell. We're just trying to show them what God has done for us. This is what Jesus has done. And all you've got to do is believe in him and have eternal life. That's what we as a church try to do. We try to take the gospel and spread it to the lost. And I think it's so sad that the only people on planet Earth that is truly trying to help them, they hate. They despise you. They think you're trying to be goody-goody two-shoes. You're trying to be all that. And you're trying to say that they're nothing. No, what I'm saying is we're nothing without Christ. But we have Jesus. And are we better off? Yes, we are. We're better off because we have Christ. Other than that, we're just sinners. We're sinners saved by grace. Grace of God. The only thing good about us is what? Christ that is in us. Amen? That's what's good about us. And we try to share that. We take the glory that God has given us, and we try to share that with those that are lost and on their way to hell. And yet they despise you for it. And that's because, in their mind, the gods that they have created in their own minds, because that's who they worship, all the little g gods, and there's millions of them. I don't know if y'all remember Pastor Saji. He went to college here. He's from India. And he was telling us one time about the millions of gods that India has. Folks, we got them right here. We've got those same millions of gods. You know, if you're not serving the God, because there's only one God. If there is a God, there can only be one God. So if you're serving any other God other than God Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, then you're serving a little g God. But if you point that out and try to help somebody, they'll hate you for it. They'll despise you for it. Right now, we got some stuff coming up. I heard something a little bit about it on the radio last night. We got some things coming up. They're trying to hurt the churches across the land. And are they going to? I'm sure they will. They'll find a way to. But let me just say this. This is where I stand. And you have to decide for yourself where you stand. Tax exempt, I could really care less. They said, well, they'll take away your tax exempt. I could care less. Why? I don't think there's right to tax the church. But let me tell you something. All of it belongs to God. And if the church gets taxed, God will provide it. Guarantee you, it's his church. Why would he not provide what he needs for his church? And that pertains to anything to do with the church. If you're following this book, this yardstick that we have right here, if we as a church are following this book and teaching his truths and standing on the doctrine of the things of this Bible right here, God is going to take care of his church. We have that promise in the Word. It tells us that it's going to be here to the end. It will be here, and the church will be here. And that's us. So instead of focusing on those things and letting those things bother us and worry us, we need to be focused on what? Reaching those woke people out there. I don't know about you, but they make my skin crawl. You know, when I see two men hugging and kissing, it just bothers me. bad. I mean, it just bothers me. You know, God forgive me, but I think back. Before I got in the ministry, I know what I would have done. You know what I'm saying? Folks, they just need some upbringing. They need some true teaching. That's what they need. And it's just a bad situation. But the world today, that's what I like so much about Charlie Kirk and Candace Owens. They'll go into a college campus and they'll give them the truth. Tell them flat out just like it is. And those people don't like it, but they'll get mad to stomp off, but they're still telling the truth. And not only that, but their truth is based off of this Bible right here. That's what I like about it. This is the yardstick that they measure truth by. And today, I think it's okay for us to take a stand. We don't have to believe what the woke world believes. We don't have to go along with them. You know, we don't have to cater to them. I don't think we have a Christian school right here. Our Christian school does not have to cater to the world. Our Christian school is a Christian school. It operates under the umbrella of the church. And if you don't like that, take your kid out. It's the way I feel about it. It's God's school because it's God's church. And it operates under the umbrella of the church. Therefore, it should operate as a Christian school. If we have to follow the ways of the world, we're no longer a Christian school. What separates us from the world? What makes us a Christian school? This truth right here. And that's where we need to be, and that's where we need to stand. So anyhow, when we're reading this right here, we see that we're going to be called out of here. Then go back over to 2 Thessalonians. Look at chapter 2. Look at verse 7. Chapter 2 and verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now Paul's writing to him again. He's trying to straighten them out. Now this right here is talking about us. Who is in the way right now? We are. The church is. Now the world don't want you here. Well, God's going to take us out, and I don't know about you, but if it's tonight, that won't be too soon for me. Amen. We can get out of here. It says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now we're taken out. After we're taken out, now the wicked shall be revealed. Now remember when we read verse 9 over there in 1 Thessalonians, where it says that we're not, let me read it to you so I can get it right, because I'll say it wrong. It says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We're taken out. Now God's wrath's coming. And look at verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. That right there is what we're trying to get out every day. We're trying to get the truth out. But they would rather believe their own truth. To me, that's just so sad. It's in verse 11, it says, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now look at this next verse. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, all my life I've heard people say, well, if the rapture takes place like you Christians say it is, when I see that, then I'll believe. Well, you might. But what does it say right here? What's it say right here? I'm telling you right now, I don't want to be in your shoes. Because if you're still here, it's not going to be good for you. Folks, and then go with me now to Revelations chapter 19. Revelation chapter. I always say Revelations. I don't know why I say that. It's Revelation chapter 19. We're going to see the difference between this coming and the coming of Christ, the second coming. There's a difference between the rapture and the second coming. This part right here is the second coming. We read this just a few weeks ago. In chapter 19, and verse 11, it says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and upon his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he shall treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." That doesn't sound quite like it did over in Thessalonians, does it? He's coming here in judgment here. He's coming here to make war. "And he hath, and he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Folks, he is coming the second time. He's not coming as a lamb. He's not coming back in his second coming. He's not going to be crucified. He's not going to be bossed around. He's not going to be spat on. He's coming back the second time as a lion. He's coming back in judgment. Folks, that's not where you want to be. And for those out there in the woke world, folks, that's what they're going to be facing. And that's where we need to be focused. And I know the Satan's got a way in these old bodies that we have, just like this vertigo I'm fighting. I have a hard time reading right now because I'm afraid to look down the way I'm supposed to because it triggers vertigo sometimes. So I'm trying to see through my glasses, which I can't hardly see through them because I can't hold my head right. But that's part of the sin curse, isn't it? But in that, in the frustration that comes with that, what are we going to do? We just going to lay down and roll over and quit? No, we just keep fighting. Do anything that we can do to spread the truth. Boy, this has been such a great church for so many years. Under the leadership of Dr. Carter, they have really spread the gospel. Pastor Parsons, same thing. He's all about souls. I mean, he is always on fire for the Lord to have souls saved. That's his mission. I love him for it. I mean, the energy that comes from that. You know, that was the biggest thing about Dr. Carter stepping down, was always worried to me, is finding somebody that can step in with that new energy, following the same road, but that new energy. Because that's all we needed, was a new energy, amen? And Pastor Parsons is doing that. And folks, through the radio and the bus ministry and all the ministries that we have here, it's nothing but the gospel. And like I said before, what saddens me about it is the world hates you for it. And all you're trying to do is, we're not doing anything for self. Everything that we do is for God and for the lost souls that are headed to hell. It's not like we're getting rich working here at the church. We're not getting rich. We're not making millions of dollars. I know that's the way some folks see us. And they see landmarks sometimes because we're a big church. And we are a big church. Thank God for that. But we're a big poor church. That's the truth. But isn't it amazing what God can do with so many poor folks? I mean, to me, it's just amazing. Because I know most of you. And, together it'd take a half a dozen of us sometimes to buy a cup of coffee, wouldn't it? You catch us on the right day. But God has done so much through his people. Folks, that's a good sign that God is in the church. And when we read through this, it just blessed my soul when I saw that sign last night. And I thought about this right here in Thessalonians. You know, we won the war. It doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter how sick you get. None of that matters. We just got to keep the battle going. Keep the battle going. Keep leading souls to Christ, because that's what it's all about, getting the lost saved. And they're going to hate us. But folks, they don't understand. I try to think back when I was lost. The only difference is I was only 12 years old. So I didn't have that hatred that a lot of, you know, I can imagine myself at 25 or 30 being lost. I wouldn't have been a good customer to dealt with. I was bad enough to deal with, and I was saved. You know what I'm saying? I mean, until the Lord called me into the ministry and turned my life around, I was saved on my way to heaven, but I wasn't the nicest person on earth. And I'm still not sometimes. I ask God to forgive me for that. But, I was just raised hard, I guess. But when I look into the world, we need some of that hardness right now. We need some folks to take a stand. And believe me, it doesn't matter how old we are. God's got us here. He's got it here for a reason. And that reason is to spread the gospel, folks. And you're never too old to spread the gospel. It doesn't matter. Maybe you can't get out and knock doors, but you can pass out tracts or you can pray. Folks, we need a lot of prayer. I need a lot of prayer right now fighting this vertigo. I got to go back to the chiropractor again Monday. I went Tuesday, and he loosened my neck up. I call it cracking my neck, but he adjusted my neck and all those nerves and stuff up in there, and it was so good when he did it. And then that night, I was so sick. Could you move everything around, all those nerves and all up and down your spine? It moves all that, and that's what creates the vertigo. But it's progressively getting better. I'm hoping one more trip. I'm hoping that'll knock it out and be done with it for a while, and then just get an adjustment every couple of months. So just pray that that's the way to be, because I am sick of bouncing off the walls and hanging on to things. And every time you go to the grocery store, you got to ride around the buggy, you know, and then you're scared you're going to run over somebody because everything's spinning, and it's just really irritating. But so be in prayer for me. And be in prayer for all those others that's on our prayer list. Anyhow, that's our time for today. What's our bus count this morning?